I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke. Of course, the second chapter, and I'd like to read this verse again for you in Luke chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now we've learned from the Word of God, when God made the first promise for the Redeemer in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, that the next 4,000 years of human history was all concerning God keeping that promise. Thinking of all he did to send forth this baby boy born in a manger for our salvation. Again, if you'll look, please, in the New Testament book of Galatians in chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law." And I'm amazed here that God says, when the fullness of the time was come. In other words, God moved heaven and earth to create the exact moment, the moment that Christ Jesus was to be born. Think of it. I've said to you that where the Old Testament ends and the New Testament begins is not the same place. The Old Testament ends and is followed by 400 years of what some call silence. But it was not silence. There was no written revelation given of God's word. But God was anything but silent. Again, he moved heaven and earth with the kingdoms of the world. And he moved the kingdoms around his people, Israel. And God created things that were necessary to create that exact moment for the Lord Jesus to come into the world. And that he did. As the Babylonians conquered Judah and created for them certain things because of their conquering, as the people were dispersed from the northern kingdom by the Assyrians, and synagogues were started which had never existed before that would give the preaching points for the gospel, as the Greeks conquered and created one language for the whole world. The Bible had been only for the people in Hebrew. Now it was translated into the Greek language. And then the Romans came and created roads and highways and safety and shipping lanes where people could go throughout the world and preach the gospel. All of that is not just an historical account. That's the work of God creating one moment in the fullness of time for the exact moment for the Lord Jesus to be born. But that's not the end of it. God tells us not only that he came once, he's coming again. And just as surely as God worked in human affairs to prepare the moment for the Lord Jesus to be born of a virgin, he's preparing now for him to come again. I have an article in my pocket that I brought from the paper recently given from the reaction of the United Nations to what our president declared about Jerusalem being the capital of Israel. Just this one part. When they took their vote, the article says, when they took their vote, 35 nations abstained from making any remark, yea or nay. 129 nations voted against Israel. The hated Jew, all of that building, so that the very moment it looks like God's people, Israel, are just about to be destroyed, the Word of God says that the King will come again. And the Bible says in the revelation of Jesus Christ, in the 19th chapter, and this is just as true as the scene in Bethlehem, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We recognize him as a baby. But when we see him again, the world will know he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's all connected to Christmas. Let's pray together, may we?